Today's podcast is sponsored by Fiona Forrest at Off the Vine, a lifestyle blog on the food, fitness, and finesse of living a southern plant-based life. Find Fiona on Instagram at Fiona A. Forrest. Welcome to the Rider Nation podcast. This is the Rider Nation podcast, and I'm your host, Jenny Kate. Every week, I bring you conversations and discussions with members of the writing and book communities, and I share this with you for a couple of reasons. One, the world needs the creativity and insight that you have inside of you, so I hope you find some inspiration here to keep writing your book. But I also hope to bring readers into the world of writing, you know, lifting that veil, because you can find a deeper connection to your favorite writers here. So with that, let's get started. Today's guest is creative extraordinaire and founder of Courtney Literary, Deb Courtney. So Deb and I met in Colorado Springs about 7 years ago, and I gotta tell you, she is one of the most creative and quirky people I know. So you know you have a friend that you just feel more creative around when you're talking to them and you're hanging out with them? Well, that's exactly how I feel when I'm hanging out with Deb. Ironically, she's a project manager by day, but she incorporates a fascinating systems look into her creativity, and how you as a writer can use systems thinking to be a better and more productive writer. I think you'll find this talk pretty interesting. She's got a lot going on with Courtney Literary that we get into, and her thoughts on systems is really a way to help you be more productive, which as you know is why Rider Nation exists, to motivate you and inspire you to finish your project. So okay, here we go. Okay, so Deb, you started Courtney Literary in 2011.
2011, yeah.
Why did you do that?
It was new. It was a new frontier in publishing. Mm-hmm. Amazon was allowing people to get books to market without going through the traditional pathways. And I thought there would be a niche for someone with a background in English, a background in publishing, a background in project management, mm-hmm. to assist people with books that would otherwise have been purely self-published, but put a discerning eye, add a layer of editing, do, you know, professional quality covers, etc., and also add kind of the marketing component mm-hmm. to that. That was the original idea.
So now here we are, fast forward 7 years. Mm-hmm. So over time, talk about the evolution of Courtney Literary and like kind of how that's evolved over the last 7 years and where you'd like to see it go.
I have published 17 books. Mm-hmm. Some of those are not in print anymore for a variety of reasons. Some of those have moved on to other publishers, and some of those have reverted back to the original authors mm-hmm. who decided they wanted to self-publish. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for that is that publishing at that level is a really slim margin mm-hmm. business. And as more people become more adept with computer programs and software and et cetera, and as Amazon especially opened up more and more pathways for people to get their work directly to the public, it became less and less effective for me to be a middle person mm-hmm. there. You know, the folks that I had a designer work up covers for could as easily contract directly with my cover artist, yeah. who was not a direct employee of mine, et cetera. So I think as people said, I don't want to pay someone this percentage, I can do all of this myself. Mm-hmm. I wanted my relationships within the industry to stay in good standing. And so I spent some time thinking about how I wanted to respond to that. And I made a policy to release people from their contracts so they could move on to whatever other method they wanted to. And I published some great books. Mm-hmm. Aaron Michael Ritchie's The Suicide King.
I love that guy. He's so funny.
He's an amazing guy, and it was an yep. amazing book. And that yep. is really, he has his own company now. Mm-hmm. So he pulled that, and that remains one of my favorite projects I was ever involved in. Another book that I did called A Portion of the Eternal. It was this beautiful gothic romance about ghosts and teenagers, and it was gorgeous. And that has been picked up by another publisher, and it's gone on to win a couple of awards regionally in the Tampa Bay area. So it's pretty discerning about the projects that I did, but I also want people to be happy with their publishing experience.
Sure.
So I've kind of morphed away from picking up new projects. I might still, if it's the right project and I think it needs what I can bring to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking mostly at kind of education and writing related events, lecturing, mm-hmm. consulting, teaching people how to do things themselves in really super effective ways. And I think that's a better use of my time. Also, I make more money doing that.
Okay, so so you have a background though in project management, right?
Yeah, I've been a project manager in technology and business and marketing for more than 20 years.
So tell me a little bit about that, because I feel like that feeds really well into the Courtney Literary milieu, if you will. Because you can use those same skills, right?
Yeah, so project management is one of those skills where ultimately you set out to understand a system and how to execute something within a system.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a number of different types of projects, from, you know, straight business to events to now through Courtney Literary, putting books together. And you find that most types of projects have the same kinds of steps associated with them. And that's a skill set that translates really well across a variety of different markets and types of projects. And so when I thought, oh, I could publish books, it wasn't out of the blue. It was, I know how to run projects. In projects, you have something that you are making happen. In this case, I'm making a book happen.
Right.
Right? Or I'm making an event happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same steps. It's the same type of system. And those skills, again, overlay very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So then what I did was I made it my business to understand, okay, what are the things that make a book happen? So I could do those properly. But every time I have a new project, I have to ramp up on those skills anyway. So it wasn't particularly daunting for me to apply that to making books happen.
Right.
So,
which is interesting, because writers tend to just think of words on a page, done, right? I mean, there's a whole other system that goes into actually getting that book from your brain onto the shelf.
For publishing
right?
books, I had a checklist of about 40 different things that had to happen.
Yeah.
First edit, second edit, final edit, post layout edit,
mm-hmm.
Comps for the cover, cover decision, final cover, final check on the verbiage for the cover,
yeah.
final check on the spine width against the pagination of the book. There's a lot
of things
that
people don't even think about. I mean, people don't think about the width
sure.
of the spine, right?
Sure.
I mean, they're just thinking pages.
And again, there are some programs that allow people to muddle their way through that. I can create a cover using a variety of different apps these days, or,
yeah.
Hire somebody to do it. But, I had people who were working those things for me. I had a variety of different printers
mm-hmm.
with different specs, and I would bid the print job, figure out what does the cover need to look like, what are the specs, does the cover meet the specs. So there are a lot of moving small pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But as a project manager, to me, that wasn't much different than I have 400,000 lines of code that have to be written to make this program work, and we launch it in 6 months, go.
Right.
There's still a lot of moving pieces
mm-hmm.
and a lot of tasks associated with that, and testing, which is akin to editing, and so the system's weren't so dissimilar that there wasn't a familiarity for me, if that
right.
makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
So let's talk about current Courtney Literary. You've got three major kind of sections or projects, if you will, that kind of
I have a couple of
that.
Projects.
Let's
so,
talk about that.
I like to do events that are writing focused.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go to a writer's conference and you learn a lot, but you don't necessarily do a lot of writing when you're at a writer's
right.
conference. It's all information coming at you
mm-hmm.
as opposed to you processing and working with that information. And so a couple of the things that I'm working on a regular basis would be pub scrawls. So that's a very fun...
pub, not puppet.
Pub. Like P-U-B, like bar.
Like we're going to Ireland. Pub
yeah,
scrawl.
Yeah, it's a play on pub
Yeah, gotcha,
crawl.
Yeah.
and it introduces sort of writing, alcohol into the writing environment. However, for most people, if you're drinking responsibly, one of the things that I like about alcohol is it releases some inhibitions.
Sure.
And you can get people to shut off their inner editor
mm-hmm.
and just do some really fun, interesting work. And we're very responsible, and we make sure people don't
sure,
be
sure.
completely inebriated or they have a designated driver.
Disclaimer done. We got it. So all good, healthy, fun.
Yeah.
But you do this for a reason, though, and there's a reason we were talking about earlier about neurolinguistics and the processes that you need.
Right.
And
so
this helps bring
to
some
take
of that
a
out.
Step back from that a little bit. I think that there are some ways that we can add to how we currently teach writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of my project management background, I'm very adept at breaking things down into very small tasks, micro tasks,
mm-hmm.
if you will. the smallest unit of learning possible. And so what I do when I do the pub scrawl, say it slowly.
Scrawl, got it.
Or when I do the other event that I do that's also writing and alcohol focused, I do a monthly Write Drunk, Edit Sober, mm-hmm. as I teach a micro lesson. And the micro lesson could be as simple as the city or town where your main character grew up has an influence on the entirety of your book in this way or these ways. And the things that you need to consider are things like, does the plot execute in the same town that they grew up? Does the plot execute in a town that's similar but not the same? Dissimilar, or are they a fish out of water? And what are the implications for how they interact with all of the other characters?
Okay, I see.
And then we set up some writing prompts mm-hmm. to fully explore that and discuss those things. So that's kind of the micro lesson. Mm-hmm. And the way that the overall lessons are set up is based on a lot of studying I've done in the field of neurolinguistic programming. Mm-hmm. This is a psychological discipline. Some of it feels a little hooey, so your mileage might vary with this. But one of the approaches that I like is when you approach things from a very a positive perspective
yep.
and you reinforce them in certain ways, and those ways are multiple, we're going to talk about it. We're going to discuss it in full. We're going to examine the ways in which we can execute it. We're going to talk about the implications. Then we're going to do it four times. I'm based on four prompts in all of the events that I do when they're writing related. And then we're going to discuss how well everyone executed that particular skill.
Okay, and so give me just a concrete example so I can kind of, so I'm not totally following. So what would be like prompt one and two?
So I would have brought prompts with me if I was thinking
about it.
Sorry. No, that's okay. So for the example that I gave just a minute ago, mm-hmm. where your character grew up mm-hmm. versus where the plot is, your main character is from Manhattan. Your plot takes place in the Deep South, mm-hmm. right? So the things that you have to consider is how comfortable is that person in their own skin in this yeah. place that feels so foreign to them? How is their communication style going to work there? And now maybe you have a mystery that you have to solve. Mm-hmm. And the prompt would be, your character is from Manhattan. They have found a leather case filled with many, many, many bundles of wrapped dollars and a white brick. Go. Okay. And then I tell them, set it in the Deep South, set it in Maine, set it in Los Angeles, set it on Miami Beach.
Oh, I see.
And then we talk about how the implications mm-hmm. of the setting versus where the character is from plays out and changes how your plot
yep.
will execute, because a character in that case is going to drive certain things about the plot. Mm-hmm. So we do that four different ways.
I understand, okay.
Right? And I try to get people to execute the same one or two things a couple of different ways mm-hmm. so they themselves can internalize the skill set. So the next time they sit down to create a character and put them in a plot, they're thinking at that level, which is a level that we don't tend to teach when we teach character or when we teach plot. Mm-hmm. It may come up, but we don't practice that skill.
Yeah.
Take one more step back. We talked a little bit about the metaphor of learning to play the violin.
Right, right.
Right? So you don't pick up a violin and play a song. Mm-hmm. You're not going to pick up a pen and a piece of paper and write a book and yeah. it's going to be perfect the first time through. That's not how it happens. And so what I'm hoping is this methodology mm-hmm. gives people a way to do the small studies. I'm going to draw hands until I understand hands. I'm going to play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star on the violin until I can make all of these notes work perfectly. And then I will learn another song with a different technique and add onto it. So it's meant to be additive. Mm-hmm. So each successive item that you have as a micro skill that you pick up feeds into your overall understanding of the work that you're doing. And what I've been told by people who've come to six or more is their first drafts have increased in goodness.
they're better. Goodness. They're more polished right after.
They're better in goodness.
Gotcha. Okay, no, that's
good. That they're better out of the gate because yep. they're making better decisions mm-hmm. and they're understanding the implications. And one of the things that it's helping people with is that sagging middle, because they understand the conflicts better.
Right.
Or they understand, you know, how they're executing their setting better and how their setting is going to drive something mm-hmm. or how their use of swear words or somebody's temper or their inability to emote Mm-hmm. Because that's the skill. You have a character who is unable to emote appropriately. Here are the four situations your character is in. Write them. And now we're going to discuss them.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so when you have a character who has an issue with their own emotions, they can't approach their own emotions, mm-hmm. then you will think about how they interact with other characters, and that in turn drives your plot.
So you're doing that here in Colorado Springs?
Yes.
And how often do you do that?
I do that once a month at a local pub called Bar K. Mm-hmm. And I have about 20 or 30 people who show up and mm-hmm. do the writing with me, and we have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I do that quarterly. It's the same concept, but we migrate. It's a field trip version of it.
Okay.
And I am actually currently working on a book mm-hmm. to pull all of that together in these lessons. Mm-hmm. And I'm also working on a subscription package so other writers groups could buy like a quarterly subscription.
Gotcha.
And execute that for themselves.
Oh, okay. So if they want to find out where to get this information, where would we go to do that?
Probably just email me would be the simplest thing because I have a lot going on.
All right. I'll put your email in the show notes.
Yeah, that's fine. I answer my emails.
Yep. So. Okay. All right, so the next thing though is you're doing retreats, because I've actually been on one of these Courtney Literary retreats out in Frisco.
Retreats.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
So the basis behind the retreats again is that when we do learning environments for writers, we tend not to spend time writing, and I think that for a lot of people, they get caught up in their day to day life, and they really need periodic, really focused time.
Away from everything to just
with very few interruptions. And so how I model my retreats is there's a lot of enforced quiet. You know, I mm-hmm. was like the quiet time Nazi girl.
Right.
But there's a lot of enforced quiet time. I mm-hmm. like to make sure the meals are simple and provided. Mm-hmm. And evenings are, you know, there's a writing period in the morning, a writing period after lunch. We do goal setting. Mm-hmm. We report on how we have done achieving our goals. I keep a running tally of words edited, words added, mm-hmm. Stories finished, novels finished, and we share that because that group dynamic is really amazing. If you come into a retreat thinking, I don't think I can write that much, and everybody around you is focused and heads down and writing, you're going to write.
Yeah.
And when you hear people going, oh, I wrote 10,000 words this morning. Okay, on the one hand, you're going to go, I don't really like that person, and I'm glad I'm not sharing a room with them. But on the other hand, it also inspires you to buckle down and I can write that much probably, mm-hmm. maybe, or maybe not that much, but more than I am.
Yeah.
And even if you don't get 10,000 words, maybe you get 2,000, maybe that's 2,000 than you've gotten for weeks, more than you've gotten for mm-hmm. weeks. So I try to foster an environment that is very conducive, but also some consultative time. So I try to have some professionals around, mm-hmm. people who can answer questions, discuss tough points in stories and how to get past them, mm-hmm. and then do kind of a little more of a relaxed approach to the evenings. People can take off and do what they want to. I don't think it's anything extreme as far as a retreat goes, mm-hmm. but I try to keep people very focused on doing the work.
The work.
That's the point. And that's, you know, 20 years of project management and I am results oriented. Mm-hmm. If you're coming on a retreat, that's fine. If you want to spend all of your time talking and chatting and drinking and walking in the woods or checking out the stream. And that's good for you because contemplative time is very important mm-hmm. to us. But I'm going to taskmaster you through getting some work done because I'm results oriented.
Well, I remember when we were sitting there, I recall saying, oh my gosh, I just got so much work done. And you said, that's the point of the retreat. And I laughed because I'm like, well, it worked because I haven't sat down like and focused for a two hour solid period of time. I don't know how many months.
There's something incredibly powerful about being in an environment where you're expected to do the thing, and then you're watching everyone else do the thing. Mm-hmm. And there's almost a peer pressure element.
There is, yeah.
That gets you to go, all right, well, I've been having trouble doing the thing, but fine, now I'm going to do the thing. And for me, the thing is writing. It's mm-hmm. getting the words out. It's getting the first draft or, you know, whatever it is your goal is mm-hmm. in that particular moment. It's now we work.
Wait, for me, it's, you know, I mean, you know, I'm from Alabama. I love college football, and it's all about the competition.
Roll Tide.
Heck yeah, Roll Tide. And I'm telling you, I mean, 10,000 words, I'm making it 12. You know, I mean, that's just my mindset. So the fact that I even sat there for 2 hours was pretty amazing. But I did some contemplative time, too.
Contemplative time is restorative time, and frequently mm-hmm. when we do contemplative time, we're working through things that we want to write as creatives. So that can be very effective as well. So I'm not mm-hmm. saying I'm the Nazi who's going to be, why aren't you sitting down writing?
No, you're providing an opportunity for people to utilize that time in a way they would not do at home.
Yeah.
Right? Because at home, I'm going to wash dishes and I'm going to make sure the laundry's
done. And you're not even going to get that contemplative time.
Not at all. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So walking through the woods is one of my favorite ways to just work through whatever that plot problem is
getting
that
out
I have.
In nature,
yep.
And especially if you can be near water, which mm-hmm. is the Frisco house that I picked, especially because it had that creek in
yeah,
the back.
It did. Mm-hmm.
It's really restorative, and yep. it takes our brains out of that cycling thing that we tend to do about our daily mundane
yeah.
tasks,
mm-hmm.
and really opens you back up to the creativity that we want to have flowing through us when we do the work.
So, are you planning one for this year? Right now, or are you kind of waiting to
I'm hoping that I can pull it off before the end of the year, okay. but it's getting a little tight. That Frisco house is available, though, so I'm working on it. We'll see. If I can do it, it'll be announced in probably about a week and a half.
All right, so if you're listening, pay attention, because that one was a good one. I really enjoyed that one quite a
Thank
bit.
Thank you.
That was
Thank
fun.
Thank you.
Okay, so we hit Pub Scrawl. Mm-hmm. I won't say it right. I'm sorry. Pub Scrawl.
Pub Scrawl.
And we hit Retreats.
Mm-hmm.
And we hit Write Drunk, Edit Sober.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got going on?
So my big project right now is an organization that is focused on all of the things that we've just talked about, really,
mm-hmm.
Including a path that has I've developed a creativity coaching methodology
mm-hmm.
for people who are interested in coaching writers specifically. And it's results oriented, which differentiates it from other creativity coaching methodologies.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking to be certified in those methodologies. And what I found is they weren't results oriented enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine. They're amazing, wonderful methodologies. So no slurs against them, but I wanted something that really coached people through getting the work done.
Mm-hmm.
So I've taken sort of the best of standard creativity coaching, the best of project management, the best of this micro learning concept,
mm-hmm.
And results oriented methodology.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come up with an overall concept. The concept is tailwind,
mm-hmm.
T-A-L-E. It's all sailing metaphors, which is kind of dorky, but that makes it easy to remember.
But the umbrella
is tailwind.
Tailwind.
It's your writing only faster, because tailwind makes you go faster.
You're writing only faster.
Yep. And a couple of things that we're doing. There's a software package that will be offered on a subscription basis. And if you subscribe, you will be part of a crew.
Mm-hmm.
Crews will max at 10. Each crew will have a captain who has been certified in the anchor coaching methodology,
mm-hmm.
and they will meet on a regular basis to discuss goals and how well they're doing to meet those goals and how to set goals appropriately
mm-hmm.
for the next few weeks. They're very short stand-up meetings. It's based on agile methodology, which is it's a very well-proven project management methodology, and I have custom software
mm-hmm.
that underlies this. So that's one piece of Tailwinds, would be the Regatta software. The other piece would be the Anchor coaching methodology. So all of my coaches, all of my captains will go through that Anchor, but I'll also be offering that as a standalone option for people who just want to be certified and then go do what they would like to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the micro lessons will create a learning management an LMS, a learning management system,
mm-hmm.
which will be focused heavily on these small micro lessons, which all the coaches will be applying when folks have issues, but also we'll be licensing content from some other organizations that have done a really great job bringing learning to writers over the last few years and for a variety of reasons are not, are defunct, but they have great content.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the negotiation stage with a couple of those organizations. So I'll launch with 400 or 500 pieces of
mm-hmm.
learning available. And then there will be a book on the coaching methodology to be in the future.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot on my plate right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have people going through the coaching training right now. So I'm
mm-hmm.
prototyping that to make sure that I can adjust that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to start the prototyping for the Regatta portion,
mm-hmm.
so creating those teams and scheduling those stand-up meetings to discuss goal setting and actually reaching goals, writing the words, getting the work done.
So is this kind of like having your own personal trainer for your writing, but you also have a group that holds you responsible because you have goals?
What we
so
just talked
like
about at the retreat,
being
part of a group that has similar goals can be really powerful.
Yes.
And what this does is put individual creativity coaching within the reach
mm-hmm.
of people who probably wouldn't be able to afford it otherwise, because creativity coaches charge $50, $100 an hour to sit down and have a conversation with you about, you know, no, go with that thought and read this book and stay in touch with your inner child. And it's all amazing, good stuff, even though I know I have sarcasm in my voice, but they do really good work.
Yeah.
But that's not accessible for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a subscription base that I think the price point we're coming in at is probably going to be $29, $29.99 a month
mm-hmm.
to try to keep it under $30. And you will have 1 to 2 hours of personal private coaching available from your captain. Mm-hmm. As part of that, every month, most people won't need it, but some people will.
Yeah.
Then you have the team aspect, your crew, capped at 10, on phone calls discussing, this is what I did yesterday, this is what I plan to do for the rest of the week, here are my impediments, how can I work around that?
Yep.
And then people who are keyed to say, is your impediment writing related or is it life related? If it's life related, then we need to talk about your goal setting because your goals need to accommodate your life. Mm-hmm. If it's writing related, let's talk through it. Let's do some offline coaching so that we can get you the resources you need to understand why you're having an impediment with this scene or this character. And most of that comes down to that micro skill, something you don't understand yet about what you've written. Mm-hmm. That comes, it's very small, but it has enormous implications because, as we all know as writers, very small decisions can have big implications for what we're writing.
Oh, yeah.
So I want this to be comprehensive and accessible and predicated, again, on project management skill that I bring, mm-hmm. the schooling in creative writing that I have, mm-hmm. all my years associated with publishing. It kind of marries all of that stuff for me. Okay. And it's kind of very exciting.
So when do you think this is going to launch?
I should launch in January. For subscribers. Everyone okay. who's going to be going through now is for the prototype, mm-hmm. so I can have an adjustment period before I do an official
gotcha.
Launch.
Gotcha, I understand. All right, yep. So we can put some information about that too.
Sure.
In the show notes.
Yeah.
Was there anything else you want to discuss while you're here? We have a little bit of time left.
You know, I feel very fortunate that you asked me to do this.
No, I'd love that you're, I haven't seen you in a couple years. I'm excited that you're here. But, and one of the things that I like about what you bring to, like, I guess my writing world is there is a different perspective, right? I mean, you are looking at it from not just the business aspect of it, but more of the learning, like.
Process.
Yes, process.
And systems.
And, yes. And a lot of pantsers have a hard time with that, the idea of process and systems. But the reality is that genre fiction requires that.
If you, all I mean, fiction requires it.
Well, and I would tell you all writing requires
yeah, it
that.
Does.
But you have to get out of the it's all art mindset and understand that art is awesome and it comes from inside you. But to get it across to another human being, you got to figure out the way to do that too.
Everything, you know? It really, so the Deb Courtney unified theory of everything,
yeah.
right, is that everything really is a process and everything has a place in a system. Mm-hmm. And when you become a system thinker, right, mm-hmm. then translating those skills, right, from your job, right? Because
yep.
you don't go to your job and go, well, I'm having a little bit of job block today, so
yep.
I can't do this, so I'm just not going to do this. I'm going to go do
right,
something
you can't
else.
Do that. Yeah, you have
right?
to do it.
It's not an issue there, mm-hmm. right? So why is it you can do it there and you can't do it with your writing? Why is it that
yep.
you can look at someone and I have writer's block and people are like, oh, that must be really tough. No, it's because you're not stepping back and looking at it as a system mm-hmm. and breaking it down into small steps
yep.
that are approachable, adjustable, flexible, that you can execute in small ways moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so the Deb Courtney unified theory of everything is that once you step back and look at it as a system, writer's block should disappear.
Well, it's funny that you say it that way because I was in Nashville last month and listened to Jeffrey Deaver. Remember, he was here in Colorado a few years ago and I listened to him then too.
He's a workhorse writer.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But he was saying exactly the same thing as, you know, brain surgeons don't get to go in today and be like, nah, I'm not feeling
it. A brain surgery block.
No, I'm sorry. So get your butt in the chair. You know, you're going to write something today because that's what you have chosen to do with your life.
Mm-hmm.
You've chosen to be a writer. Now be the writer and stop
mm-hmm.
telling yourself the art isn't coming today. You know?
Generally, when you feel like I can't approach this, I can't do this, it's either because you have a life impediment that's keeping you from freeing your brain to think about this thing that it's in front of you, or you have a block because you don't know how to execute the thing that you think you wanted to sit down and write.
Yeah.
And that's where sort of those micro lessons come in,
mm-hmm.
because at that point you can start picking it apart. What is the problem? Why is this not working for me? Why is this character doing this? And sort of the approach that I want to take is, I heard you say earlier that, and then, well, it was somebody else who said it, but then this character walked up and started talking to my people in the
hospital.
Oh, yeah,
that happens to me all the time,
yeah.
yes.
And, oh, you're with the Seven Sisters showed up.
Yeah, they did.
I'm writing this book, and all of a sudden there's Seven Sisters there. Where did they come from?
No idea.
But I think that when you can pick apart the implications of those changes
yep.
and your creativity is taking you to a place, if you understand things at a very tiny level and you understand things at a very large macro level,
mm-hmm.
you have all the flexibility you need between those two extremes to adjust and keep writing and not be blocked. And then you can always sit down and do the work.
Well, and I think that's important, especially for new writers to understand that, look, just because you sat down and wrote a couple pages does not make you a genius. It makes you an artist. There's a difference. And there's a whole process involved to help you get where you want to go.
Yeah, so, those words aren't necessarily the right words in the right order. Right. But it's the best start ever, and that's where we all start.
Sure. Keep writing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely go, because you will learn this as you go. Don't get frustrated, because you will get there.
And the key, I think, and people will say this over and over again, is to sit down to do the now we do the work. When you habituate yourself to doing the work, then you can begin to localize. I have an impediment. This is the impediment. But it's not writer's block. You're not special. Your brain just didn't decide to work in that area. There's something specific there. It's a systemic blockage, or it's a micro blockage, or it's an issue with what you're trying to do, or it's a life issue that you need to accommodate before you can get back to being your full creative self, which we have to, you know, give ourselves the space and the time and the ability.
Oh, yeah, sure.
To work with those things.
Well, also,
grace is really important.
Forgive yourself.
We should not punish ourselves as artists when it doesn't go the way that we want to, doesn't come out the way that we want it to.
No.
Because the art sometimes has a life of its own.
It does, which is why Seven Sisters show up out of nowhere. I'm like, okay, I haven't been drinking, I promise. But it's there. It's so weird. But I think, too, one of the things that we have to understand as we're writing is that we learn constantly about this writing thing. You don't start writing just like the violin. You didn't just learn to play the violin.
No, you're going to put that bow on that violin and it is going to screech.
Yes.
Until you put months and months and years into bowing properly.
Yes. Same
and
with
understanding
words.
Note progressions and fingering properly, which sounds very dirty, but it's not. If you play the violin, you can attest that this is actually what it's called.
Well, that's true on a keyboard too, right?
Yep.
Your fingers need to put the right letters in the right place.
So. And you create that muscle memory over time. And we do the same thing with writing, but usually we're not given the grace to do that, which is why I kind of have worked all of this stuff out and the approaches that I want to take, because it also includes giving people better, more complete tools and also the grace within which to execute them and the support with which they can execute. Hopefully.
Well, I'm thrilled for you and I'm really looking forward to seeing
how
this goes down.
I'm so excited.
Yes.
It's terrifying and I'm so excited.
But you know that, I think when things are terrifying, that means they're great.
You're on the roller coaster and it's going.
It's going to be awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming down the show and talking to me. And
thank you for this opportunity.
You
I appreciate
very, very
you.
Welcome.
And it's, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you too. This is Writer Nation.